Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. Last night was Kenneth Branagh's first time winning a Golden Globe, even though he's been nominated for several Golden Globes since 1993 when he adapted and directed Much Ado About Nothing. Last night, Branagh won for the screenplay for Belfast, which he also directed. The film follows a 9-year-old boy named Buddy growing up in Northern Ireland in the 1960s as the Troubles happen all around him. Buddy is concerned about the violence, but he's also occupied with his crush on the smartest girl in his class, with the recent moon landing, with his passion for movies, and the love of his grandparents, played by Dame Judi Dench and Ciarán Hinds. Here's a clip featuring the three of them.
Be careful what you wish for. Is that the minister at the wee mission says?
When is your next chance?
We have to do a project about the moon landing.
What, did those boys not come back from that?
They did. Now we have to cut things out of the papers and explain how they got there.
If they did get there, they did get to the moon. It's not what it says here. God doesn't like it.
And I watched every night too that they were up there. And how did I never see Mike Collins in the mothership doing his orbit? Surely you would have seen the Ship of Columbus against the light of the moon.
No, that's because mostly he was on the dark side.
Exactly, it's the side that Lucifer hangs his shillelagh.
Well, no, look, he was on the dark side of the moon most of the time where we couldn't see him. You know, when he was doing his orbit, and then maybe, you know, just before he was due to come around the corner, you had to go in for your tea.
If I could come up with something smart about that, maybe I could stay up at the top desk and wait till she gets back there.
Well, you could say the moon's made of green cheese and dropped down a place.
Or you could do the project together, you and the young lady. You get the same marks and maybe end up on the same seat together.
But how do you even talk to her?
How do you handle a woman? There's a ways and a ways, old man. A way known by every woman since the whole rigmarole.
Yes, old rigmarole with you, mister.
Do
Branagh's screenplay draws directly from his own experiences as a 9-year-old boy living in Belfast through the Troubles. On August 15, 1969, he witnessed a mob come to his community, shadow windows of Catholic houses, and threaten those who lived there. Branagh's parents ultimately decided to leave Belfast and settle in England to escape the violence. Kenneth Branagh joined me in December to talk about Belfast, which is also a frontrunner for several Academy Awards, including Best Picture. So we thought we'd play a little bit of that conversation. I started by asking Kenneth when he started writing the now Golden Globe winning screenplay.
At the beginning of the first lockdown, somebody asked me how long it took me to write the script, and I said about 10 weeks. They said, yeah, about 10 weeks and 50 years. And so I think that's probably accurate, but the trigger seemed to be the silence. I felt there was just the world quietened down, and as it quietened down, this story bubbled up in my ears.
As it bubbled up, was there a memory that came to you that you haven't had in a long time?
I tell you what I felt was a sort of visceral engagement with a memory that had stuck with me for a long time, but it visited in very, very loud fashion, which is really, as I look at it now, a moment that I could probably describe as the sort of the last moment of my childhood, which was from a peaceful play day, you might call it, just on the street in Belfast, hearing a sound that it was hard to determine to begin with, but has in my recollection this surreal slow motion quality that eventually made me realize after about 20 seconds that what I was hearing and then what I was looking at was a rioting mob coming towards me. And it was the vividness of that memory that was the sort of pivotal moment in my life, certainly, and important moment at the beginning of this film. That's the memory. The memory of the moment when really the sound of the world changed and the facts of my little world changed.
Do you remember the smell of that moment?
That's a very interesting question. I tell you what I remember was an engagement with smell when what I thought was a very unusual thing happened. At the side of the road were the usual, we would call them grates, you know, G-R-A-T-E, iron grates through which rainwater would pass and underneath which was, you know, the beginnings of the sewage network. When the mob came up, rather than sort of bringing bricks, they lifted the grates up and they smashed the grates. I didn't know they could be smashed. I didn't know they could be lifted, but there were so many hands at work on it. And maybe they used crowbars of some kind, I don't know, but they smashed. So these sort of seemingly kind of monstrously impenetrable things were smashed. And then those pieces of wrought iron were the ones that were used to smash and mark the windows of the Catholics who lived in our house. When that happened, I remember when we came back into the street afterwards, the smell from the drains was very, very pervading.
You know, there's a scene where Buddy cannot process leaving. He's in a full meltdown. Mm-hmm. When was the first time you realized that you and your family might leave Belfast?
I can't precisely remember when it was, but I remember that the meltdown was as in the film, really. It was the moment at which I could tell from their tone of voice, even though they were still talking about it as a possibility, that it had become certain, because I knew that they were selling this idea. They knew I loved football, but they were selling this idea of the garden, a garden which I have to tell you, when we eventually got there, was pretty blooming small, not a football sized garden at all. But and it was. As you say, it was a moment of incomprehension. And I suppose it's at the center of the film from the sort of thematic point of view of understanding, as I was writing it, that the film is a lot to do with how we, as we have to, process loss. In this case, it was the loss of the country that we lived in, the home that we lived in, the identity that we had. Eventually, in the story, he has to think about how to process the loss of loved ones, and it was that first encounter with the sort of implacability of that. Just it wasn't not going to happen. It was going to happen, and it was heartbreaking. And when we came to shoot the scene, we actually asked Jamie Dornan and Katrina Balfe to improvise at the beginning of it, to take a long time to try and find their way around to explaining to young Jude that this wasn't going to happen, and to allow that sort of explosion that he does very brilliantly as an 11-year-old performer. And it was definitely another vivid moment of change from that story.
The film shows how easily a kid can get caught up in the conflict. At one point, there's a mob looting a grocery store. When he runs home, he's like, "We're looting, like it's fun, like we're flying a kite." Yeah. Was there a moment in your childhood when you thought you might get pulled in to the conflict in some way, even as a little person?
Yeah, I mean, the recruitment extended, yes, to quite young people. And indeed, the scene to which you refer did in fact happen. And one was involved with this bizarre looting. And I brought home triumphantly, it seemed to me, a packet of family size washing powder, as if I were carrying an antelope back from the savannah. There would be meat for the family for many months, I guess, maybe I thought in some primitive part of myself. But in fact, my mother was outraged, dragged me right back into that same place to explain the concept of the Ten Commandments, that one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not steal. But in so doing, of course, put us in enormous danger. And that was a tipping point that where you could absolutely understand that, yes, it would be very easy to be drawn into this, to be suddenly delivering milk bottles, you think innocently, but which turn out to be part of the equipment that builds petrol bombs. And it was a slippery slope into suddenly being involved with organizations that you hadn't even realized were recruiting you. So that incident was one of the tipping point moments that really, I think, made my parents feel we have to get out of here.
How did you go about approaching your family and your siblings with this idea that I'm going to write a movie about us?
Well, I just wrote it because I you know, the lockdown did strange things to people. So I was writing in my shed every day. I didn't tell my wife what I was doing. I just went to the shed every morning and did it. And then I finished it. And then my thought was, well, I'll finish it and that'll do me good. That'll be important. And then I thought, well, I do think there's a story that other people might understand here. So I'd like to try and make it, but I won't make it if my brother and sister don't like it. So they had no idea what was going on. And then they received the script and then they read it and were highly emotional. My sister was very, very surprised. She said of me, she said, for a very quiet, private man, you really put it all out there, haven't you? but I said to both of them, so do you mind if I go make this? Are you happy? And they said, yes. And so I did. It would have been fine if they hadn't. This project was always going to somehow depend on the universe saying it was, you know, it was the right thing to do. So they did. And then somehow we managed COVID and, and here we are talking about it. So it has been remarkably blessed by the goodwill of others.
Did it do you good to write this?
Yes. Yes. I think to acknowledge where you come from, and particularly for what it's worth, I mean, it doesn't really matter to anybody, but a lot of people might assume if they know my work, that I am a Shakespeare spouting, graduate of some elite establishment. And yet the sort of creative DNA, which has always informed the work that I've done, whether it's performing or directing, I think comes from the experience of having been brought up in a working class Protestant family in Belfast, who were then subject, like many others, to the trauma of the times. And I wanted to go back and acknowledge it for myself and to learn from it. I wanted to sort of shake hands with that 9-year-old kid. And I wanted to understand better what my parents went through and the sacrifice that they made. In as far as I could, it was an imaginative attempt to understand what they went through and to recall these formative influences when, as I began to realize at the beginning of the lockdown, it seemed to me that there were probably many ways in which many people could recognize some of what was going on in this particular family that might apply to their own. I've always thought about stories, you know, that we read them, hear them, or watch them to know that we are not alone. And I've benefited from that as I've watched so many beautiful stories over the years. And it occurred to me there might be something in this that other people could be interested to hear.
That was part of my conversation with Kenneth Branagh, who last night won the Golden Globe for Best Screenplay for his film, Belfast.
NYC Now delivers the most up-to-date local news from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. With 3 updates a day, listeners get breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from across New York City. By sponsoring programming like NYC Now, you'll reach our community of dedicated listeners with premium messaging and an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to get in touch and find out more.